a translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Katvanga thought, "Not even my life is dearer to me than the Brahminical culture and the Brahmanas, who are worshipped by my family. What then is to be said of my kingdom, land, wife, children and opulence? Nothing is dearer to me than the Brahmanas." Purport: Maharaj Katvanga, being in favor of the Brahminical culture, wanted to utilize one moment's time by fully surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is worshipped with this prayer: Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namaha. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jaya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, who is the well-wisher of the cows and the brahmanas, as well as the living entities in general. I offer my repeated obeisances to Govinda, who is the pleasure reservoir for all the senses. A devotee of Krishna is very much attached to Brahminical culture. Indeed, an expert personality who knows who Krishna is and what he wants is a real brahmana. Brahma janatiti brahmana. Krishna is the Parabrahman, and therefore all Krishna-conscious persons or devotees of Krishna are exalted brahmanas. Katvanga Maharaj regarded the devotees of Krishna as the real brahmanas and the real light for human society. One who desires to advance in Krishna consciousness and spiritual understanding must give the utmost importance to Brahminical culture and must understand Krishna, Krishnaya Govindaya. Then his life will be successful. Srila Prabhupada ki. So this is a very nice and very important verse dealing with a very fundamental aspect of our devotional culture and our devotional life. In today's society, Brahminical culture is largely absent. And one of Srila Prabhupada's most important moods and goals was to actually create a class of Brahmana devotees who would be there to lead society, because currently it is sorely lacking. Brahmanas are, of course, one member of the four orders and the four ashrams. Chaturvaranyam maya shrishtam guna karma vibhagasa. So according to one's guna and karma, these four divisions are created. And so we have the four varnas and we have the four ashrams. And between these eight arrangements, every living entity is supposed to have an opportunity to advance in a way that is for their own particular upliftment, potentially life after life, but depending on the person's effort, it could be in one life. So this is it's a material system created by Krishna, Devi Varanashram system, but it requires re-establishment. Maharaj Katvanga, just like many of the Raja Rishis that we hear about and study in the Bhagavatam, he said, "Not even my life is dearer to me than the Brahminical culture and the Brahmanas." And of course, he comes in a tremendous lineage, and therefore he mentions, "Who are worshipped by my family." So this is how the saintly kings of the past used to conduct themselves. They would not be independent tyrants or independent dictators, producing laws, producing ideas, persecuting people, either collectively or on a whim. They would actually take guidance from self-realized, practicing brahmanas, who themselves have a very strong Brahminical culture. When such a person guides, or such a collection of persons guides, the ruling order, the kshatriyas, then actually something very substantial can take place in society. And what is that? That is simply that samsiddhir haritoshanam. That actually, whatever one does in whichever occupation of life, the end goal needs to be that they please Krishna. So without that actual clear direction from the brahmanas, that goal is lost. Prabhupada mentioned that in the West we're traveling very fast. You know, motor cars are fast, roads are nice, and we go very quickly. But where we are going, we don't have an idea. The direction is lost. In India, most people have an idea that they're heading towards God. But sadly, the facilities are not quite up to scratch. So neither place is perfect. But at least one thing is there, that without a proper direction, one cannot know, one cannot actually conduct themselves properly in life and achieve anything proper. It is a very important thing that one knows the goal in life and one knows a very clear, well-trodden path to get there. And this is one of the key roles that the brahmanas play. Just as traditionally in this country you would have persons who would help you across boggy marshlands. I don't know if they have a particular name, but they would carry a lantern, and in some parts of the country there are large peat bogs where it's practically impossible to travel on your own if you're new or if you don't know the path. So these persons would, with their lantern and with their expertise and experience, they would guide newcomers, travelers, through these difficult to pass areas. So the role of a brahmana is compared to that. That because the brahmana knows the path, the brahmana knows the goal, and the brahmana is also in touch with Krishna, they are actually qualified to lead a person back to Krishna. Prabhupada in this purport emphasizes that the most important aspect of brahminical culture is expertise in knowing who Krishna is. Indeed, an expert personality who knows who Krishna is and what he wants is a real brahmana. Brahma janatiti brahmana. So, of course, we know that this concept of brahmana is very much misunderstood and we can say abused and misused throughout Kali Yuga in all parts of the world. There are always groups of men, classes of men who consider themselves to be superior to others. And regardless of their actual qualification, they may assert that status. But actually we know that janmanam jayate shudra. Prabhupada would quote this verse many times, that by birth alone, one is actually a shudra. And then simply by engaging in samskar, samskaret bhaved dvija, one actually becomes twice born, one becomes a dvija. So the samskars are very important. Now, of course, taking a brahminical birth is very, very fortunate, because then it is more than likely that you will do the samskars. And it is more than likely that there will be a culture and a supportive culture that will allow that to come about. So sometimes in our discussions, in our preaching, we also go the other extreme. That these traditions are actually of no value. But that is also incorrect. Here Maharaj Katvanga is very clearly glorifying his family lineage. How it is that all the members of his family used to worship the brahmanas. So that is clearly something that he is accustomed to since birth by training. And so whereas a particular birth will give a person a particular opportunity, then subsequent samskars, actions, behavior, karma, actions will actually determine how that person is actually situated. It is clear that by one's psychophysical nature, one's mental nature, that certain individuals, it is easy to see which kind of category they naturally fall into by the karma that they have inherited. We all know how individuals come into this world. Karmana deva netrena chantur dehopapatyaye striya pravishta udaram pumso reta kanashreya. A living entity enters this world into the womb of a mother according to karmana deva netrena, according to their karma and according to the supervision of the Supreme Lord. So no one is here by chance, no one is here by accident. Everyone has a certain degree of facility, certain degree of pain, certain degree of opportunities in this world. And subsequent to that, what they do with their lives determines actually whether this particular lifetime is successful. In this verse, Maharaj Katvanga is very much concerned about time. This whole episode has taken place because Maharaj Katvanga was asked by the demigods to fight on their behalf because he was an expert warrior, an expert kshatriya, And he did, and he won whichever battles he was placed into. And the demigods were very, very pleased with him. So they wanted to offer him a benediction. But Maharaj Khatvanga, being very intelligent, wasn't particularly interested in material benedictions. And he said, please tell me how much longer I have to live. Now, if people offer us something, I wonder if that's the question that comes to our lips. How much longer do I have to live? Well, that was the consciousness of Maharaj Khatvanga. But the news wasn't particularly good news, because he was told, you have only a moment longer to live. So Maharaj Khatvanga immediately left the palace that they had arranged for him in the heavenly planets and immediately came back down to his own residence and engaged himself in devotional service. And this is the beginning of his meditation while he's situated there in trance, ready to actually prepare to leave this body. So for him, knowing exactly where we're situated in our time scale was very important. And realizing that time is running out, he decided to withdraw completely. And so this is what Brahminical training gives one. It actually gives one a sense of perspective, that our own individual specific actions and duties at this moment in time, or perhaps over a period of time through our training and education, they are not actually the final goal. They may be activities that we do along the way. We all know the different analogies. This place is compared to a transit lounge sometimes. We transit through it. If we're going to America, if we're going to India, we will have to go through lots of check-ins, check-outs, transit lounges. But if we go into the airport lounge and start making ourselves very comfortable, start decorating the walls, start changing the lighting, arrange nice seating, then we may have missed the point, because within an hour or two, we'll actually have to leave. So if we simply extend that to our lifetimes, to the timescales that we have to operate within, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, maybe 100, if we have a good innings, as they say, a century is good going these days. That's the timescale. But actually compared to the global timescales, it's actually nothing. If we read of the cycles of the Manus, the lifetime of Brahma, and understand that there are many, many lifetimes of Brahma, each one of his days and nights is many, many millions and millions of years for us. So then our 50, 60, 70 years actually becomes very, very insignificant. It's like a little speck in that timeline. So Maharaj Khatvanga clearly understood this due to training since birth. And as a result, when the time came, he was able to make the right decision and the right choice. Now, this instance of Maharaj Khatvanga was mentioned to Parikshit Maharaj earlier on, Canto 2, in order to encourage him. Because Parikshit Maharaj also did something very similar. Upon realizing that his time was running out, that he was bitten by a snake, and that this serpent of time, effectively, was going to kill him, rather than getting too involved with the details of what to do next, he simply renounced. Directly, physically, practically, mentally renounced everything. And actually went to the bank of the river and sat there, ready to leave his body, to focus in devotional service upon the Supreme Lord. So this is what the great saintly persons do. And so this story was narrated in order to encourage Parikshit Maharaj also, that he is actually following in the line of authorized persons, and that their examples are very good ones to follow. We also see, actually, all individuals, all Kshatriyas are supposed to do this. They're not supposed to remain attached to their kingdom, to their comforts, to their situation. They're meant to leave. Now, in the case of Dhritarashtra, it took a little bit of persuasion. Dhritarashtra was happily enjoying himself after having lost the battle of Kurukshetra, and Vidura's words were that he is effectively like a pet dog being fed from the hand of Bhima, being thrown some scraps from Bhima. Of course, Bhima never liked Dhritarashtra. There was always much, he would taunt him. Anyway, there was a lot of problems in the Mahabharata between those two characters. So Dhritarashtra was there. Yudhishthira Maharaj maintained him thoroughly, even though he was responsible for the entire battle. Yet Vidura at a certain point had to go to the Dhritarashtra and point out to him that your time is running out. Your hearing has gone. You can't speak properly. Your teeth are falling out. You can hardly eat. Don't just hang around here in this comfortable situation. Do something with yourself and actually make your life perfect. And those very strong words which he used were actually what it took for Dhritarashtra to one evening or one night just to get up and go to the forest. And then Gandhari went with him and they both achieved perfection. So this is actually a trait of the Kshatriyas. We saw that the Pandavas did the same. They didn't hang around in their kingdom after they knew Lord Krishna had left the world. They went, they travelled to the northern directions and they engaged in austerities and eventually left. So this is a lifestyle which sometimes we need to be reminded, because actually, at least for myself in my current state, we tend to think that time is everlasting. I can't see anything wrong about to happen. No one's told me that the snake bird is going to bite me. No one has told me I only have a moment to live. I can just carry on and let the Lord take care of everything. Well, the second part is okay. Let the Lord take care of everything. But the first part isn't. So we have to actually have an idea, as Prahlad Maharaj says, that, you know, every moment should be engaged in the service, in service to Krishna. And every moment should be engaged in doing what is for our, doing the right thing for our ultimate welfare. This is what distinguishes persons who are members of a progressive culture and those who are not. Members of a progressive culture led by Brahmanas think, what can I do for the future, for my ultimate long-lasting satisfaction and happiness? They do not think so much, what can I do to make myself happy in this moment in time? In the Bhagavad Gita we know a distinction between the interaction of the modes and happiness. Happiness in the mode of passion appears to be like nectar in the beginning, but it very quickly turns into poison. Whereas happiness in the mode of goodness tends to be somewhat poisonous in the beginning, but nectar in the end. And that is simply because we are used to something else. We are used to an environment where we conduct ourselves to get some immediate benefit. At most, the benefit we desire, if we are brought up like that, is that we might desire to go through the whole system of education, work, family. And so our planning may be in terms of decades. Some people plan in terms of years. Some people plan in terms of days. And some live moment to moment. So different people will achieve different results. But Brahmanas are supposed to actually view beyond these timescales, beyond years, beyond decades. They are supposed to be thinking, what can I do to make myself happy long after this life is gone? Long after I have left this vehicle, whatever next vehicle I'm in, how can I do what is necessary to make myself in the best situation? And then a higher understanding to that would be, how can I do in this life what is necessary to serve the Lord in the best way possible, as quickly as possible? We all know that in our embodied state, until we become thoroughly, totally purified, we are limited in how we can serve Krishna. It is a fact. The Lord said this to Narad Muni. When Narad Muni had engaged in meditation and he had the Lord's darshan through sight initially, the Lord appeared before him. After Narad Muni's mother passed away, Narad Muni engaged in different penances. And the Lord appeared to him and gave him beautiful darshan. But then at a moment that darshan disappeared. And then he tried to recollect that beautiful personality again, and he was unable to do so. And later on, Lord Narayan appeared to him and he said, those who are insufficiently pure can hardly see me. So he was very merciful. He appeared to him through sound at that point. But he reminded him that until we are thoroughly purified, we have no right and practically no ability to actually take full darshan of the Lord. So that is something that should be an impetus for us to become totally purified as quickly as possible. in a very pure sattvic state, and actually beyond sattvic, because as we know, these three gunas are of the material world. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna is an instruction to Arjuna. This material world and its three modes of nature are all there, but you should rise above these modes. So it should be an impetus that our full potential to serve the Lord has not yet been realized, as long as we are embodied, and less significant than just the body, because obviously we hear of examples of persons who are totally liberated and engaged in pure devotional service within the body even. But more important than just the body is the mind. The mind and the consciousness. Because that is the seat or the heart of devotional service. Our consciousness. Largely the gross body is a reflection of the state of our consciousness, according to the karmic system. So as we know, when someone leaves the world, the subtle body carries the soul to its next destination. And the gross body is awarded according to the state of that subtle body. So that the person achieves the external physical facilities that are connected to their internal nature. So clearly changing our internal nature and ultimately removing both these gross and subtle bodies is the goal of a devotee. Because when these two coverings have been removed, one can be very purely situated in their own spiritual body and they can worship the Lord. Now, which situation we have is not really usefully determined by us. It's generally advisable that we leave the external situation up to Krishna. Otherwise, we have many problems. We have people taking spiritual life cheaply. They assume they have reached some kind of bhav, they start acting externally according to whichever bhav they've taken on. And we see the rise of upper sampradayas, or those persons who actually take spiritual life very, very cheaply. So the external situation that we're in is not our concern. That's Krishna's concern. Even which of the five relationships we have, the five rasas, is also not our concern. That's up to Krishna. Our concern should be to totally purify our mind and consciousness so that Krishna places us in whichever situation, which could even include a material body, that best pleases him and serves him. Prahlad Maharaj is addressed as the best of the demons, but his consciousness, was it even slightly demoniac? Not at all. His consciousness is totally pure, totally clear, totally focused on Vishnu. So much so that no one could harm him, none of his enemies, none of the miscreants. So, if we try to cultivate a lifestyle which allows us to become very much purified as quickly as possible, we will be successful, ultimately. So I thought we could just have a quick look at these different varnas. Obviously, Brahminical culture is emphasized here. But in the Gita, actually, where this is placed, where this fits into the whole system, is described in a little more detail, in chapter 18. So obviously for today, I'm sure everyone knows the descriptions of the qualities of Brahmanas. Shamodamas tapas shocham, kshantir arjavam evacha, jnana vigyaman ashtikyam, brahma karma svabhavajam. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures in accordance with the material modes, O chastiser of the enemy. And for the Brahmanas, peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work. So that is actually quite a comprehensive list. But this is the caliber of persons that Maharaj Khatvanga would be worshipping. Peaceful, self-controlled, austere, pure. So that happens after extensive cultivation and practice of a very clean, pure lifestyle. Tolerance, honesty. This is perhaps one which is often underemphasized. Honesty. And sometimes we use emergency situations to justify our increasing dishonesty, sometimes in our dealings. But actually it's not a characteristic of Brahmanas at all. Dishonest behavior, trying to maneuver situations for our benefit, behind people's backs. We say things to one person in one situation, we say something different in another situation. This is actually not a quality of a brahmana. Sometimes politicians will engage in different mechanisms, different political, diplomatic endeavors. But we should be clear that those are not traits of brahmanas. Brahmanas are meant to be truthful, honest, and reliable. Because if the brahmanas are not, honesty is actually an indicator of someone's transparency and simplicity. If a person is complicated and they have multiple agendas, they are not really worshipable in the sense that one can worship them to actually gain something for one's own welfare. If a person has interests other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, any other of these mundane interactions or interests that we all go through in life, if when those become a priority, as they often have to for Kshatriyas, then transparency and the ability to directly advise what is best for a person's ultimate welfare becomes compromised. So truthfulness and honesty is something that is very, very key to Brahmanas, and it is often emphasized. Yudhishthira Maharaj is famous for this. Although a Kshatriya, there were instances when it was often not clear which ashram, which varna Yudhishthira Maharaj was acting in. And he was chastised also by some of the other Pandavas. Sometimes Yudhishthira Maharaj would try to withdraw from fighting and would try to dissuade the Pandavas from actually acquiring what was correctly theirs, rightfully theirs. And the others would, and other saintly persons would advise him, no, this is not your duty. You are not meant to be here in the forest engaging in sacrifices and yajñas. Your job is to lead a country, your job is to fight, and you should not waver in your determination. But we see him as a very honest person, and there are pastimes related to that. Knowledge, wisdom, clearly those two are factors. A brahmana is meant to teach. Patan patan, yajanyajan, dana pratigraha. Six activities that a brahmana engages in. One of those is learning, studying, swadhyaya, and teaching. So, honesty and knowledge very much are brahminical traits. Religiousness. The ability to perform religious activities and to set a good example for society. So then moving on to Kshatriyas, some traits of Kshatriyas: heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity and leadership. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So I'll repeat those again: heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity and leadership. Those are traits of a Kshatriya. Sadly, just as the Brahmanas are lacking in today's Kali Yuga, these type of Kshatriyas are also very much lacking. Heroism, one is meant to perform heroic deeds in order to directly command the respect of people. This aspect is often sidelined in today's world. We often demand positions, we often demand titles, we often demand respect. But it's simply due to a lack of ability to command it. Prabhupada naturally commanded respect. It wasn't that he had to establish formalities in order to get that respect. That came later as part of a system. But it's natural. By performing heroic deeds, one commands respect. Power. Power comes naturally. Kshatriyas are meant to wield power. They're meant to be able to fully exercise that power. The weaponry Arjuna had, the weaponry the Pandavas had, even the Kurus, that weaponry is very substantial. They're meant to have that power, and they're meant to have the consciousness to deal with that power. Determination, resourcefulness, and courage. Courage is also very much required and often lacking. A real Kshatriya does not hide behind others. A real Kshatriya does not keep quiet when they need to speak up. A real Kshatriya is prepared to stand for what is right, and they're prepared to actually protect those who are under their care. And in essence, Kshatriyas are meant to protect everyone, starting with the Brahmanas. That is a specific relationship between Kshatriyas and Brahmanas. That Kshatriyas are meant to especially protect Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas are meant to especially protect Kshatriyas through vidhis, through yajñas, and through knowledge and instruction. They have a very substantial duty to inspire the ruling class. So generosity and leadership. So leadership is a natural quality of Kshatriyas. Then Vaishyas. Of course we know this verse, Krishi Goraksha Vanijam. Farming, cow protection, and business are the natural work for the Vaishyas. And for the Shudras there is labor and service to others. So farming and cow protection and related trade are wholesome activities for Vaishyas. And we know from the scriptures that actually there are two things which are considered real wealth in Vedic culture. Land and cows. Those are actually considered elements of real wealth. So therefore, when Kshatriyas would give charity, when they would give charity to Brahmanas, as all of these Rajarishis would do, they would predominantly give land and cows. Vamandev, he was given land, right? By Bali Maharaj. He wanted a little bit of land, three steps of land. Well, we know which direction that went. But giving land and cows is actually, because those two items are considered real valuable items. So cow protection naturally leads to subsidiary trade. When cows are protected, they farm the land, they produce crops, they supply milk products. They create a whole society where a whole range of people can come together and actually flourish, each with their individual trades. And then those products that they make, they can be sold as business. But these days, most of the business that takes place is not based upon these fundamental raw ingredients of land and cows and cultivation and subsidiaries like cloth, etc. So individuals in Kali Yuga come up with increasingly demoniac items to produce and to sell as business. They may seem to be very nice, helpful items, but somewhere along the line there's a big catch. And the big catch is often for someone else, not the person who made the item or who sold the item. Every invention that is made has some consequence. Someone mentioned something very funny to me the other day, it's slightly tongue-in-cheek. They mentioned that we create refrigerators and air conditioning units. But the consequence of that fridge, although it's meant to keep us cool, it's meant to cool down the room, it leads to global warming. So while we've made our own rooms locally cool, we've actually done something else which is problematic for the rest of the world because of the different chemicals, etc., that are used. Now, of course, someone can argue that, yes, these are things that have gone on in the past and now we've got nicer, kinder chemicals. There will always be some negative aspect to anything that we do that's not based upon proper culture. And as I mentioned, because we are turning to increasingly demoniac tools, items, materials to do some very simple things, it leads to a problem, a big problem. I was just reading the other day that in the world's oceans there are huge quantities of rubbish, huge quantities of waste. I mean, these are not a few scraps of plastic bags floating around. There are large acres full of rubbish in the oceans. This is the result of our advancement, one of the results. So we see the immediate benefit that things bring us. That is always seen. But we don't see the consequence of it. So therefore, a culture which is guided more with actually a healthy respect for farming, cow protection, the environment, nature, God's will actually be more progressive and more uplifting for the entire human civilization. Not to mention the animals. That is the type of protection that we need. And of course, Shudras, labor and service to others. So in all aspects, in all industries, there is a need for labor, for service, artisans, sculptors. Whole range of activities comes into this category. And it is a very important category because without it, the legs of society would not be functioning. So we know that we have the head of society in a sense is the Brahmanas, the arms are the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas are the belly, and the legs are the Shudras. So yes, there is a hierarchy. Yes, it is true that the Brahmanas are higher. Yes, it is true that the legs are lower. But none of them are any less important than the others. And so a system of respect is required, whereby respect is offered to the higher orders, but that that respect is earned, that that respect is not based upon demands, and where each of the higher orders do actually fulfill their responsibilities to the lower orders. That is also required. There is no point a Kshatriya calling himself a Kshatriya if he's not going to adequately protect. As soon as cow slaughter was going on, Kali was there, Parikshit Maharaj immediately drew his sword, ready to kill the miscreant. That's a Kshatriya. When Krishna's wives were being stolen by some infidel cowherd boys, Arjuna was called to protect them. Of course, that particular effort failed because Krishna had left. But immediately, without a doubt, he picked up his bow and went to do what was necessary. That's a Kshatriya, one who is prepared to stand up for what is required. And a Brahmana is not meant to be interested in the runnings of this world. They're not meant to be interested in acquiring wealth. They're not meant to be interested in different facilities. They're meant to simply take what is supplied, and the Kshatriyas and society are meant to supply. They're meant to simply take what is supplied. Some exalted Brahmanas will engage simply in the practice of silonchan, picking up grains which are left in the marketplace. And in that way, society and culture will be maintained so that the Brahmanas can remain very, very pure. So purity is actually the key point here. When each of the Varnas are acting according to their duties and according to their restrictions, everyone prospers. And in this situation we see a particular emphasis on Brahminical culture. Prabhupada mentions Go Brahmanya Hitayacha. And he's known as Govinda, because he directly, personally, protects the Brahmanas and the cows. So I'll stop there. We have a few minutes for questions, if anyone has.